Anyway, so we did get approval for some trucking, and I proceeded. Rixie, come on over here. Come on. We proceeded to the Board of Adjustment, and the Board of Adjustment hired an attorney to look at the ordinance to see if this really was a use in the town, whether it was a use by right or a conditional use, because there was nothing, according to the Board of Adjustment, there was nothing in the ordinance saying that this was a use.
So, what do you mean that this was a use? That a private use or a...
That anyone...
That you had rights to the water on your own property kind of thing?
Rights to withdraw water for bottling purposes. So they hired John Hansen in Rutland, who I have to tell you I have the highest respect for, because he really, he wouldn't talk to me, he wouldn't talk to anyone in the town. He just took the ordinance and studied it for several months. And his office would receive in any information, any written information, but wouldn't talk directly to anyone, so he didn't want to be influenced in any way. And he came back with his opinion, which was, you know, he said the way the ordinance is written, the ordinance actually encourages encourages the farmer to be creative in their agricultural products and endeavors. So it sort of didn't have the narrow view of agriculture, had a broad view. And he said, therefore, it's a use by right under agriculture. And the Board of Adjustment decided not to accept that opinion and refused me any use of the property.
Now, who's the Board of Adjustment? Is that a state board, or is that
the town Board of Adjustment? On the state level, there are regulations, you know, that you have to abide by. For instance, we had to test all the wells in the surrounding area within, and depending on the size of the aquifer or flow, you have to test within a certain radius. So we had to test within a half mile radius of all the properties, you know, abutting my property. And we did that, and the flow is so high on my property that, I mean, you don't even come close to, I mean, there's no way you can affect anyone. Riggs,
it's okay.
And how many people are on this ordinance board?
Oh, I can't remember exactly, but there, you know, there were six or eight.
Is Ed Irish on it?
Ed Irish is not. Ed Irish at one time, I believe, was the head of the select board.
Yes.
Not at the time that I went through this process. He was also the head of the commissioner of the Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. So he's been very much for this project, and he certainly carries a lot of weight in the community because he's been very active in the community. He's a very knowledgeable person. I have gotten a lot of support. In fact, you know, initially, when I first went, there were a lot of people opposed to this project. And it's as they've gotten to know me, and as certain people like Ed Irish, Sterling Livingston, and the original person that was the first person that came forward was Edgar Trumley. And these are people that have been there forever. They've been leaders in the community. And, you know, they certainly believe in property rights. And as Sterling said, this is what we fought for in the various wars. I mean, this is exactly you know, freedom of religion, freedom to speak your mind, freedom, property rights. Not that you have to have some regulation, but the state already has it in place so that you can't affect other people's wells. You have to prove certain things and so on and so forth. And we've done that. Anyway, Board of Adjustment turned me down, and my only course of action, which I really don't like hiring attorneys and going through the court process. It's never happened to me before, but that was my only way to appeal this. So we appealed, and we've been in court, and unfortunately we lost in the lower court, and we've now with the Vermont Supreme Court, and we really felt we were coming from being in a deficit position, losing in the lower court. But the Attorney General wrote an amicus brief, which is a letter to the court as a friend to the court, not taking one side or the other side, but wrote a really brilliant, brilliant letter, something like 12 pages, saying that the court should look at the broad picture of agriculture. And this is really the key. Because not only is it a property rights issue, it really is an agricultural issue, because in the family farm, out there in nature, is where we're going to find pure water. And what we do to the property is going to affect that water, and how we take care of that property is going to affect that water. So this really is a fiduciary obligation. And what the brief said was, because it isn't even a question of, you know, my situation, but if we don't look at the broad picture, that this is going to affect the face of Vermont forever, and doesn't give the property owner a reason to preserve that property. And again, what we'll get is more subdivision. Because if you can't make a living from your land, and farming certainly is changing and evolving, and it's harder and harder for people to support themselves and to make money with their property, and to keep it open and natural. If there isn't a reason to do that, again, you know, the face of Vermont is going to change. And Vermont is so unique and pristine, and, you know, even with the changes that have happened, the old history is still there. And we've got to work to continue to preserve that, and working with change somewhat, because you know, nothing stays still. There's nothing ever stays still, but how we create that change, and what we do with the opportunities, and taking again from the history and building towards the future. We can have a wonderful environment, or we can not have a wonderful environment. And, you know, this is a way to preserve property, and also have a clean industry. You know, the bottled water industry is you're not creating pollution. It's all natural. I could employ probably 50, 60 people in the town, full-time employment. And right now the primary industry is skiing, which is, I enjoy it myself. It's a wonderful, wonderful sport, wonderful industry, but it's not full-time employment. It's full-time employment for very few people, and the bulk of the employment is part-time. And the people who aren't employed in the summer are, you know, sort of taking different jobs, or they're unemployed, or, you know, they're painters, or you know, working in a part-time environment, whether they can get jobs or can't get jobs. And I think I have to let my dog out again. So I think it's very rare that you get an industry that you can have an industry, you can create jobs, and you also preserve property. So, you know, this is what I'm hoping to do, and hopefully we really need to win in court. But it isn't even a question of just I need to win. I think Vermont needs to win. And I really believe it's a win-win situation for everyone.
When does this happen? When is the...
March 17th is our tentative court date.
And who's your judge?
I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't know.
What have been the objections?
It's interesting because the objections publicly have been trucking. But trucking is a way of life on a farm. But that really isn't the issue. The issue is power and control. And originally the opponents were led by a woman who lived on the farm next to me, but she was not the property owner. The property owner has never objected. None of the property owners have objected. And she basically, I asked both she and her husband to dinner one night, and I said, well, you know, if the issue is trucking, we certainly can negotiate trucking. And she looked me right in the eye and she said, Ginny, you and I both know this is not over trucking. And I said, I know that, Robin. It's Robin Cook Hubner. I said, what is the issue? She said, I really fundamentally believe that water cannot be sold, that it belongs to everyone. So I said, well, Robin, you know, this is America, and I have not created the wheel. I mean, this has been, you know, Poland Springs has been in business for 125 years. And if the water belongs to everyone, how do you propose to get it? I mean, it's been sitting on my property. You know, the old age dating goes back beyond the 30s. And if we don't do something with it, you know, you're going to get subdivision here. And so this was her issue, and you can't fight that. I mean, that's what her belief is. She has since bought property in northern Vermont. She moved, and she's gone. But she adjoined the court battle. She adjoined the town in the appeal. But
who in the town is against it, and why?
Well, I think, you know, what's happened, originally everybody was opposed because it was new to them, it hadn't happened before, I was new, who is Ginny Houston? Since that time, they've gotten to know me, and the last meeting that I went to, and I've been to every one of the meetings, first meeting was, you know, 50 people opposed and me. The last meeting, there were easily, you know, 30 people for this project, and no one opposed. So I think the town has sort of got themselves in a box. They could have gotten themselves out of the box along the way at different times, but they managed to just get themselves deeper in the hole, so that now they can't get out of the hole without either a court ruling in favor of this project and of water being a use by right, or by a town vote. Now they put before the town a conditional use last year, and it lost by simple majority. And I really think it lost because people don't want to relinquish their property rights, what they feel
what
is a property right.
What was the conditional use?
It was just a straight conditional use, saying that water extraction is a conditional use. They were petitioned, the select board was petitioned by Edgar Trumley for water extraction, commercial water extraction, to be a use by right. And 5% of the voting signatures are required. He got 10% in like a day or day and a half. The select board chose to throw that in the waste paper basket. The select board has been petitioned again for a use by right. It went to the planning board. It has moved on to the select board. But in the meantime, they are putting another straight conditional use before the voters next Tuesday. And we'll see what happens with that.
What does Ed think, Mike? Does Ed have any hope that it might pass?
Ed wrote a brilliant letter. It's in the Valley Reporter this week. And he hopes that, he believes in use by right. So he came out in favor of use by right. Edgar Trumley took out a full-page ad. I haven't seen the paper yet, but Father Rooney called me and read me the information. Ed Irish read me his letter, and Edgar Trumley read me his ad. His ad said, you know, something to the effect of, vote no on conditional use. Waitsfield residents vote no, and keep your property rights. And don't give the politicians more power, something to that effect. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll have it within a week. I get it in the mail. So we'll see what happens on Tuesday. If it goes through, I'll apply, and we'll continue in court because I don't know what those conditions will be. I mean, the state already regulates conditions which I've got all my approvals for. So I do have all my state permits and approvals. And I'm just waiting for the town.
Wow. Yeah. What do you think your chances are in court?
Well, I really believe we have to win. I just from my soul, I think what goes around comes around eventually. I think we have to win. So I believe we will win in the end. But I can't imagine anything other than that. Okay. The you asked me who's against it, and they don't like to say that they're against this project. They say they're for this project, except it's been 4 years and we're not there. What they're interested in is control, and so it's the select board, primarily Elwin Neal, who is the head of the select board, and the planning board, the head of the planning board is Russ Bennett. So the issue is control. The problem is, how do they control, and if they control you, you know, they've been asking for a pipeline. To do a pipeline for a bottled water operation, first of all, it's not feasible for a startup company financially. I also don't own the land between my property and the town. You put a pipeline in, and for instance, Vermont Pure has a flow of, and this is information that I got from the previous owner, Jeff Godzminski, who owned Hidden Springs, and it was sold to Vermont Pure. They're in Randolph. And if you go into Randolph, there are no traffic jams in Randolph. And they've been in business now 6 years. They're in 26 states, for instance, I believe, 26 or 36, something like that. They have a flow of 100 gallons a minute.
Is that also an aquifer?
I don't know. I don't know how big their source is. So it's obviously a small source because mm-hmm. it's 100 gallons a minute. But Jeff actually did the numbers as to what they are actually bottling, the amount of water they're actually bottling a minute to put in bottles, and it equates to, what did he say, I think it was something like 10 gallons a minute. But to be in business, you need a greater flow than that. So they're in 36 or 26 states with 10 gallons a minute. Now, if you were going to pipe that, for instance, 3 miles into Waitsfield, that water is going to be sitting in the pipe, which is not good for the water, and you know it has a problem, is no longer pure. I mean, piped water is okay for municipal systems, but the best thing for the bottled water is to have the plant right on the site. That's another issue which, you know, I haven't gotten into with the town, but the more I've gotten to know about the water industry, you really need, purity is the number one factor. The more you move the water, the more you could have problems with it. I mean, I could put a plant down in back of the property, have it look like an old barn, and no one would ever know it was there. And that would be the best, that would be the number one situation to be able to do that, which could be done if they, you know, it's one thing to withdraw the water, that's if we get use by right, and then we could bottle it to a nearby plant. If the town really would work with me, the ideal situation would be put it on the property, which would require a little, you know, rezoning for that area, you know, spot zoning for that area. And the rest of the land, the 2,000 acres, would be kept pure. And nothing else would be put on the property other than I need to rebuild my old farmhouse.
So you got a name?
Yes, Virgin Vermont. And I didn't come up with that name, but the gentleman that I worked for, you know, years and years ago, who is now a client of mine, suggested it. And at first I thought, well, I'm not sure about that because I don't know if women would appreciate that name. But I had some labels made up and had names put on the bottles. And when you actually see it on the bottle, and I don't have one here to show you, but people would pick that bottle because they said, you know, that name says it all. You don't have to read the other information. And the more I've lived with that name, I mean, the property is virgin property, and the water is truly the purest out there. So, and it actually has a body to it. If you taste the water, it has a body, almost, I can only equate it to wine. So there's a fullness in the taste, and it's just wonderful water. So we played around with a lot of names, and that's the name we came up with, Virgin Vermont. That's the way we'd like to leave the property, too. So. Yeah. In other words, we want to start the company. Originally, we're going to do a private placement with bringing in some high-end individuals to finance the startup, and then we plan to do a Vermont offering because I really think it's real important that other people in the community, if they choose to invest, that if it turns out to be a good investment, you know, they'll reap the rewards. For instance, Ben and Jerry's, if you put $1,000 on the original Vermont offering and bought Ben and Jerry's stock today, it would be worth, I think, $45,000. So I'd like to open that up to Vermonters, and then eventually we'll do a regular public offering. And some people have said to me, well, why don't you just keep it private, and then you don't have to answer to, you know, people and so forth, to shareholders. But I absolutely believe that this was really a gift, and I want everyone to who's interested in being part of it to be part of it. And it's something that the community can be proud of.